Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. This morning, we're following what's happening in Myanmar. The first UN aid plane has landed in the country. We'll have more on that in a little while. Also, pressure on Senator Hillary Clinton to drop out of the race for president. And our friend, Mr. Hockenberry, is hanging out with scientists studying the galaxy. We'll have more on that. Also today, we're taking a look at an interesting cultural trend, which is recent all-black productions on Broadway have helped draw huge audiences that some might not have expected. Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor at Essence, is here with us. He's just seen The Country Girl, a new play on Broadway, as well as Thurgood, two shows that are expected to attract African-Americans to the theater, something that for many, many years, decades, was assumed that African-Americans don't do.
Exactly. You know, Tony Award season is about to, the Tony Awards are about to be announced, and we have an embarrassment of riches in terms of African-American actors who are certainly eligible for Tony Award nominations, like Essie Pather Murkerson, who was in Come Back, Little Sheba.
Law and Order. She plays the detective on Law and Order.
Yes, but she was amazing at Come Back, Little Sheba, which is a role that Shirley Booth, Hazel, won a Tony and an Oscar for. There's Morgan Freeman, who's essaying the role that Bing Crosby played in the film The Country Girl. I just want to do my Bing Crosby imitation.
Oh, please.
I just had to do that.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, what we're really talking about, though, is that you have productions that are all black that are being backed by millions, multi-millions of dollars, something that really just has started in the last couple of years outside of August Wilson's Pulitzer Prize winning plays.
Exactly. But there's the one play, Cat in a Hot Tin Roof, which Stephen Bird, that's the all African-American revival of Cat in a Hot Tin Roof. That
James
is breaking
Earl Jones
by
and,
right. James Earl Jones, Felicia Rashad, Terrence Howard, Anika Noni Rose.
Cast.
That is breaking box office records. And what's great about that production is it was a grassroots effort. So many people who went to go see what was called the Chitlin Circuit plays, and I have nothing against Chitlins. I'm from North Carolina. But a lot of people didn't see that as legitimate theater. The audiences who went to those plays and supported them did because they love plays. They love to be entertained. They love, you know, what the theatrical experience is. So I think that what was brilliant about Stephen Bird was that he reached out to those audiences. They responded and are continuing to respond to Cat in a Hot Tin Roof, which is really review proof. That was a play that was not embraced by the critics. But what we're finding about the audiences who are going to see it is the reviews that matter. It's really word of mouth. It's not so much what the critics think, it's what their neighbors think.
That was really the experience with Oprah's produced show, Color Purple. Critics didn't particularly like it, but it really broke some sort of barrier down and proved something on Broadway economically and creatively.
Absolutely.
I just want to drop in here that Cat on the Hot Tin Roof, Patrick, that you just referred to, it raked in $500,000 last week. It was number two just behind Macbeth, so certainly making a lot of money. And you're talking about audiences that are between 70% and 80% African-American.
Right. These are dramas. Listen, I ran into my landlord at Cat in a Hot Tin Roof. How many people can say that? it's really good that you have, a lot of star power, too, who are bringing African-American audiences to the theater, like Morgan Freeman in The Country Girl. That's non-traditional casting. He's playing the husband of Frances McDormand. This is a production directed by Mike Nichols. This is really an event. But the real showcase production right now is Thurgood. Can we listen to some of that with Lawrence Fishburne playing Thurgood Marshall?
My parents named me after my grandfather, Thurgood. Thurgood. It's my second grade. I got tired of writing out all those letters. I cut it to Thurgood. I was born in 1908, the year that William Howard Taft was elected president, and the year that Jack Johnson knocked out Tommy Burns. A Negro was the heavyweight champion of the world.
Now, that's a play that opened on April 30th. And, Patrick, do you know how well it's done?
It's doing extremely well. And, in fact, when I was there, the audience was about 60% white, 40% African-American. But what was amazing, Adora, was of the African-American audience, the diversity of the age range. You had, you know, people who probably still remember Thurgood Marshall, our first African-American Supreme Court justice. You had baby boomers and Gen Xers like myself. And then you also had Lawrence Fishburne's fans from the Matrix series, you know, Morpheus, you know. That was phenomenal. You don't normally
you
see
don't
that
see
in
that.
A theater, you know.
Yeah, normally you go and it's all old people. But I'm wondering, is Thurgood as a play in the tradition of like True and Mark Twain Tonight and the one-man shows that have really, you know, it's a genre that emerged from the 60s and have, you know, provided some very, very powerful historical entertainment.
It is, John. What makes it work is, of course, you know, Lawrence Fishburne's performance, which is towering. It's amazing. But it's also, they do a lot of things with audio visuals, multimedia, you know, with
oh,
the photography. So it's like a 21st century interpretation of Thurgood Marshall's life. So you're never bored there. You know, someone went backstage and talked to Lawrence Fishburne. He has to remember 80 pages per night. 80 pages, you know. No intermission
different?
At all.
What do you mean, 80 pages?
Well, the script is 80 pages. You know,
I see.
It's not like he's
one-man
improvising.
Show, man.
Yeah,
but it's,
now, of
that's
course,
without a net. No net there.
This is really good news for Broadway because they've really been struggling to sell tickets for a while now. They have as much competition as television and, of course, radio does because now people have all these other choices. They play Grand Theft Auto, their DVDs, they've got TVR. They have all these other things that they can spend their entertainment time doing. But let's take a quick listen to Country Girl, a piece of it, because this is something that you just talked about, Patrick.
You walk off this show, too, you'll never see me again.
Oh, right. Take everybody else's part. Never mind how I'm feeling. Just take everybody else's part.
This year, I'm taking my own part.
Why'd you ever marry me?
That's easy. You always had chiclets in your pocket.
Chiclets. Now, what's also interesting about this play is, as you noted, the character that Morgan Freeman is playing was not written necessarily for an African-American person.
No, that was not Clifford Odets. He was polemical, but he wasn't crazy back then at that time. but it works. There's something about Morgan Freeman and Frances McDormand's chemistry that totally works. And when you see Morgan Freeman on stage, you're just reminded what it must have felt like back in the 40s and 50s to see, you know, actors with true star power who could really act.